Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, I do. I do expect them to be back. I mean, I think that, you know, we'll talk to all, we'll meet with all the staff members, you know, one by one and see where we're at. But yeah, I do anticipate him being back.
How quickly things change, my man. I'm Clint Sterner. I'm joined by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. That was Bill O'Brien, head coach of your Houston Texans, talking directly after the season about Romeo Crennel and his job status with the Houston Texans as the defensive coordinator. A lot of shaking going on over off Kirby at this point in time, which I think we'd be fools to think that wasn't going to be coming down the pipe at some point in time. Outside linebacker coach John Pagano relieved of duties, I guess, late last week, maybe earlier in the weekend.
Probably the same day as the other move that was made that I'm sure you're going to get to in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get to several of them. But, he's gone. Obviously, Chris Olsen, front office, head negotiator, VP of football operations if you need something a little bit more official. He's out as well, and we'll get to that, Wade. But you and I, man, as former players, when a coach as well-respected, as long in the tooth as Romeo Crennel has been in this league and with the Texans for that matter, when he is relieved of his duties, man, that's where we got to jump this thing off. I mean, obviously, I believe that change was needed. I think change is needed at both offensive and defensive coordinator position. I think the obvious one was the defensive coordinator position. I mean, because Romeo Crennel's 73 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. This isn't one of those deals where it's like, hey, you got to go because you didn't perform up to our expectations. I mean, you're talking about a guy here, Wade. He's been with the team since 2014. I'm talking about Romeo Crennel. He's been with the team since 2014. He has had coordinated 5 years, because remember, Vrabel was there for 1 year. Coordinated for 5 years, for all intents and purposes, had a top 10 defense, over those 5 years. Slipped this year a little bit because of some adversity, some injuries, some things that I believe if you're evaluating the defensive coordinator, you go, understand the fact that there were some struggles on the defensive side of the football. You and I have outlined multiple times about there's no excuse for the Baltimore collapse on the defensive side of the football. There's no excuse for the Kansas City collapse on the defensive side of the football. So there's a reason for concern. But I think before we go any further, Wade, we got to spend a minute at least saluting the job that Romeo Crennel has done as a Texans defensive coordinator. And overall, the body of work that he's done in this league has been awfully impressive.
Yeah, I'll initially just talk about what he did this season. This season, just like you mentioned just now, that, hey, there were times that he was fighting with one hand tied behind his back.
Because more than one time.
Yeah,
right?
more than multiple times this year where he had to go into ball games with multiple DBs down, or he had to go into ball games with this starting middle linebacker down. He had to go into half of the season without J.J. Watt on the roster. And there were games that we would discuss going into the ball games and we'd say, you know what, the offense is going to have to carry the team, because right now the defense, you know, they don't have the horses like they normally do. They lost Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason. You know, J.J. Watt is not out here right now. Bernardrick McKinney is hurt, or Bradley Roby is out. You just take your turn, pick your game, and he would go out there and put together a game plan, and the defense would play very, very well. So from that perspective, for sure, you got to salute Romeo Crennel for what he did this season and what he's done over his lifespan as a Houston Texans defensive coordinator. But at the same time, he's 73 years old. There needs to be some new blood in the building.
Yeah. Change isn't always bad. Change is good.
It's not always bad, and it's not like Romeo for sure is going to be out, because from what I'm hearing is he if he wants it, he can stay on as like a senior defensive assistant. But that's if he wants it. If he doesn't want it, then he can go chill. But if from a player's perspective, when you're looking at it, you say, well, hell, I mean, Romeo, that's my guy, but – shoot, he probably want to go chill anyway. Right. It's not like you're going to look at him and be like, I can't believe they they got rid of Romeo. So it's not one of those situations.
Wade, 73 years old. There was times this year, and we jokingly, I mean, probably wasn't the right thing to do, but we talked. I mean, there was times when he would be at a press conference and be out of. I mean, my man is tired. My man, he's 73. He's been at this thing for a long, long time, and it's a tough schedule. It's a tough routine for a coach, a coordinator, to keep doing it. And 73 years old at this point in time, he's done a big time job. You touched on something there, Wade, that I think to me it would help Bill O'Brien tremendously if Romeo Crennel were to decide to move into more of a consultant role, because you've got a former head coach, you've got a long time coordinator in this league to help you make some of the decisions that you struggled with. And so Romeo Crennel as a consultant, to me, it'd be more about helping the organization than it would be just the defense and the new defensive coordinator moving forward.
Well, you know, I could agree with that, helping the organization, but I would say not the organization. It would help the football side of things, overall decision-making. I think everybody knows, if you're paying attention, that Bill O'Brien isn't going anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So he is the ultimate decision maker. So in order to help that person is making all the decisions, you need to have people in the building that are around him that he respects their opinion so that they can help him make better decisions. And so if you can have Romeo Crennel in a role that's similar to that, that's going to help the organization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think it's going to be something where Romeo is going to be helping making decisions on, you know, what marketing materials we're going to use or anything like that. But when it comes to helping Bill O'Brien be a better overall coach, decision-making, clock management, and I'm sure he's been doing that all along, but if you lose that person out the building, that's one less voice that Bill O'Brien can listen to.
Yeah, it's a guy that's available, it's long in the tooth, that can help you from a consultant standpoint. It's not just bringing in some Joe Blow off the street. He's familiar with your organization, the way you run things, your culture. I think it would be a big-time plus if the Texans were able to keep him around. So, nonetheless, Texans defensive coordinator since 2014, Romeo Crennel, for the most part had a top 10 defense in this league when he was with the Houston Texans. He is out as defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver, former defensive line coach for the Houston Texans, has been named the defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans moving forward. Wait, I love this hire, man. I'm not a big fan of, we've talked about from hiring from within multiple times, over the last week, over the last 2 weeks, and I have not been a big fan of hiring from within, but that's mainly because where I think the most important hire for this team is going to be at the offensive coordinator position.
Yes,
and so my opinions have been tilted heavily towards the offensive side of the football. When the Texans named Anthony Weaver the defensive coordinator, it was one of those where I'm familiar with him, obviously. But the more I dug into it, the more I'm liking what I'm seeing and I'm hearing, and I think this is a great hire. His history as a player and as a coach, with some other defensive coordinators, with some other defensive minded coaches, essentially what this guy has been raised up in some different defensive philosophies, different defensive schemes. Under some guys that I think you'll recognize their names, Rex Ryan, Doug Marrone, Mike Pettine. I mean, those are guys, he played for Rex Ryan at Baltimore as a pro before becoming a Houston Texan. I mean, those are all guys that I can't see one of them where you go, I ain't real sure I hope he didn't take much from that. These are all guys, Wade, that I go, hell yes. Give me a defensive coordinator that's got a little bit of each one of these cats in them and has that former player in them. And some of the things we heard Seth Payne earlier talk about Anthony Weaver being, give me that guy and let's turn the reins of the defense over to him and let him run. I love this Anthony Weaver hire.
Yeah, man. I love the hire for multiple reasons, none of the ones you mentioned, and so that's a good thing because that means that there's extra things that you're adding to the list. He's a teacher. Now, you look at the defensive line for the Houston Texans over the past 4 or 5 years since he's been the defensive line coach. All he's working with is undrafted guys, 7th-round picks, 5th-round picks, a lot of late-round guys, and he's making them productive football players that can play the run, that use good technique. So to me, that tells me, and that's just not me observing that, that's me hearing it from guys that are in that meeting room, that Anthony Weaver is a hell of a teacher. All right, that's one. It reminds me of
which by the way, is very rare in this league. I think you made that point earlier, right? That's very rare in this league to get a guy that is a technician and a dang coach and teacher first and foremost.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. And I mention that because people will always, or not always, but people will mention his charisma, his ability to walk in a room and connect with anybody. Those are great qualities that make you a damn good head coach, right?
Yep.
That's coming down the line. Right now, he's just a defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. I'm very happy for him for that reason. But if you're a teacher, it reminds me of Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, remember what Mike Vrabel was like with Whitney Mercilus and guys like him when he was coaching linebackers? All of a sudden, he becomes a defensive coordinator. That year, the stats weren't great. The defense had some growing pains and struggles. Then he leaves, becomes a head coach. He's playing an AFC Championship game the other day.
Right,
that's Vrabel. Anthony Weaver has similar qualities about him being a leader of men, about him being able to capture a room. Young guy, going to come in with great energy. You mentioned Rex Ryan earlier before the fact that he was a coach with Rex Ryan in the New York Jets. There's a mentality that comes with that. There's an aggressiveness that comes with that. That's we're going to blitz you and we're going to dictate to offenses that you're going to get from that. And that's something that you really haven't had here out of the Houston Texans. So that is something for sure to be excited about.
That's one way Houston Texans fans out there that are listening. The Texans got better with Anthony Weaver becoming the defensive coordinator for multiple reasons, but one of them simply because of the cloth that the guy's cut from is a more aggressive style. I would imagine you'll see a little bit of change there from scheme, be a little bit more creative on the defensive side of the football. I just think it's a really, really good move. I don't think it's the most important move, and we're going to get to that, but I think it's a really big-time move for the Houston Texans and something that gives you a little something to look forward to on the defensive side of the football. Still a lot of work to do over there, but Anthony Weaver is a hell of a start. Now you got your guy in place. Now you can start talking personnel. What does he want to do? We made the point of the day, Wade, that the coach and scheme need to be decided before you get into paying Roby and who you're going to go get and what's next for Reader. Before those decisions are made, you got to figure out who's going to be making the decisions and you got to figure out what that scheme's going to be. Those are in place. Now it's time to go get the players that you need, whether that's re-signing guys or re-upping guys or going and getting somebody outside the locker room. That's the next step for this defense. Wade, can't go any further without talking about this, man. Today we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. It is MLK Day. Wade, when I speak to high schools and all that stuff across the country, I always talk about adversity exposes a man's true character, right? One of my favorite Martin Luther King quotes, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That is one of my most powerful quotes that I've ever heard, man. This is a special day.
No question about it. It's a day that when I sit back and think about it, like, listen, we wouldn't be on the air right now talking amongst each other.
Yes.
If it wasn't for Martin Luther King, we couldn't do the show together. I wouldn't be allowed to talk to the people and give them insight on a game that I love of football and just all the various sports that we have going on. And so Armin had asked me, he's like, hey, it's a holiday Monday. You going to come in and do the show with Clint? Hell yeah, I'm going to come in. Hell yeah, I'm going to come in because you know what? But because of him, I have the opportunity to come in. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are walking around that are doing things that would not be the case without Martin Luther King and people that struggle with them. And the struggle continues. So I just definitely want to just show love on this day and continue to make sure that you uphold the legacy that he left behind for people like me and all over the United States of America.
Yes, and everybody be safe out there. I know you're out there cooking out. I know there's a lot of partying going on.
Save me some barbecue.
A lot of celebrating going on. Be safe out there. Enjoy your friends, your family. Make all the beautiful, beautiful memories. And again, enjoy this day to the fullest as we all celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King on MLK Day. Wade, we talked about Anthony Weaver. We talked about Romeo Crennel out, Anthony Weaver in as the Texans defensive coordinator. That's not the only thing shaking and moving over there at NRG Stadium with the Houston Texans. There's another figurehead in this organization that has been relieved of his duty at an interesting time, man. Huge contract negotiations. Their priority, number one as of today for the Texans, and a key player in that process is no longer with the organization. We'll discuss that next. Joined by Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet. Wade, Texans Senior Vice President Chris Olsen. He is out, my brother. He has been the primary negotiator in the organization, one of the best in the business of managing the salary cap and negotiating contracts. He's been with the Texans for 13 years. I believe he held a job with the NFL in some kind of negotiation contract managing type of role for the NFL. This guy's one of the best in the business, man. I mean, he negotiated J.J. Watt's $100 million contract. He negotiated all the contracts and had all the pieces in place, or at least to our knowledge he did, to get the organization into a position where there's roughly $60 million in salary cap space heading into this offseason. This is a very interesting move. We talked earlier about Anthony Weaver taking over for Romeo Crennel with Romeo Crennel's age, Anthony Weaver's background, the timing for Anthony Weaver's good. That move was almost a seamless move. It's right there. It's primed and ready. Pop it in the microwave for a couple of minutes. Boom. Put Anthony Weaver as a defensive coordinator, and let's move forward, okay? This one right here, Wade, this one right here is another one of those Bill O'Brien moves that leaves me scratching my head, right? It leaves me scratching my head. It's interesting, Wade, and here's why. Let me set the table for you. It's like kicking a field goal to go up 24-0 on Kansas City when you know you got to score half a 100 to win.
Are we really going here?
Yeah. Hey, I'm proud ahead. Of myself for this one, Wade. I'm proud
go
of myself. Bear with
You're
me. You're
going to make my stomach hurt
It's
again.
Like being up 21-0 and on 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-4, whatever it was, you kicked a field goal to go up 24-0, which, hey, not here to argue whether it was good or bad decision. Who cares at this point, right? But then you turn around less than 5 minutes later, and you go for it backed up on your own 29, and – again, regardless of the scheme, you go for it. Just the lack of aggression in one, and then 5 minutes later, the super aggressive move on the fake punt leaves you wondering, what in the hell are we thinking? Like, I'm okay with either. I'm okay with trying to pad that 21-point lead and ride this thing out, or I'm okay with being super aggressive, but now you did both of them in a five-minute span. Now I'm scratching my head, Wade. Yeah. So let me swing it to – this is why this move's interesting to me. The organization, and we can only assume that Chris Olsen had something to do with the Whitney Mercilus deal.
Yeah.
We can only assume that he had something to do earlier in the season. I don't know if it was training camp or week one, but right with the Nick Martin deal. You can only assume those moves were made and involved Chris Olsen heavily, okay? And so you pop them two deals, you lock those two pieces in place. And again, I don't care if people out there, I don't care if you agree with the dollars amount, the values, all that. Forget the details of the negotiation. Chris Olsen took part in those two negotiations. You finish the season, and Wade, you are in priority number one. Forget about going and finding other talent and fixing the defense. Priority number one has to be Deshaun Watson's extension, Laremy Tunsil's extension. What do you do with Bradley Roby? What do you do with DJ Reader? And I'm not saying that some of those guys on the defensive side of the football that you sign them. It doesn't matter. But when you sign Whitney Mercilus a few weeks ago or a month ago or however long ago it was to an extension at $13 million per year, and then you turn around and fire the guy before you make the arguably the two most I'm trying to think of two between Tunsil and Watson. I mean, hell, has there been two bigger since Bill O'Brien's been there? Has there been two bigger contracts that need to be negotiated?
No.
So right before those start coming around the bend, literally, you're coming around the bend and you can see Deshaun Watson's last year coming up to where you need to renegotiate or at least negotiate an extension. You fire the guy that some will argue has been the best in the business relative to negotiating contracts. So I ain't banging the move of firing. I'm just sitting there going, how do you go Nick Martin, Whitney Mercilus, in season when you weren't an in-season re-up team, you didn't believe in that. How do you make those changes and then come around to Ben and fire the guy that, for the most part, is known to be responsible for all those negotiations?
So this is where I have to disagree with you, Clint.
Okay.
Because when you mention the fact that it kicked the field goal and then – on 4th-and-2, you kick the field goal instead of going for it on 4th-down, and then you backdoor with a fake punt. I agree. That didn't make any damn sense. But see, this move makes absolute perfect sense.
I need
sense
you
to
help me make
this
sense of
this makes absolute
it, baby.
Perfect sense to me. And the reason why it makes sense to me is this. All right. Chris Olsen was here in 2006, I believe. He came with, like, Rick Smith and all that whole
Yeah, 13 years in.
13 years in. He, like you said, you're exactly right. He is known as someone in the league from around all circles as somebody that's damn good at his job, right? But if you look at the history of when, since Bill O'Brien has is kind of amassed the amount of power he has in the organization, yeah. If you don't agree with or if there's any issues as far as you being on the same page of the vision of going forward, what you're going to do, you're going to be gone. And so he's not one of his guys. You got to think, when Bill O'Brien first got here, his only – the part of the organization that he had total control over was players and coaches. So when he came in, he got rid of coaches that were good coaches, and then he brought in his guys, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's the GM, he gets to get rid of front office people and bring in people that are his guys. So to me, and that's normal for every organization in professional sports, and I'm sure in the business world it's the same thing. If you have a position, you come in new into an organization, you're going to get rid of people that are loyal to the old guard and an old way of doing things, and you're going to bring in people to do it the way you want them to be done. And so Chris Olsen was a guy that when Bill O'Brien got here, there was no way he could say, no, Chris Olsen, I want him out. He didn't have the power to do that, and there was no reasons behind doing that. But what I'm feeling is that this, Bill O'Brien and him are not on the same page going forward of about who they want to pay, how they want to pay them, things of that nature. And so because of that, I'm going to bring in a guy that is part of my regime and let this guy go. And so, and it happens all the time in business. So it doesn't surprise me.
Hold on, wait. Here's what you're telling me. Bill O'Brien's power within this organization is growing as we speak.
Yes, sir.
In a time when I think most people.
Stevie Wonder can see that, bro. Stevie can see that. Ray can see that. It's a lot of people that can see that.
I guarantee you, if I could see 59 out that window over there, you got cars swerving all over the highway. Because I think when you talk about the fan base and when you I think that's worrisome for a lot of people out there. In fact, let's take some phone calls. 713-572-4610. If you're listening, I mean, are you concerned that Bill O'Brien at this point in time, that his not just sitting steady as the head coach, GM, offensive coordinator, his power essentially is growing. And while we wait on those calls, Wade, let's you had a message. You had a message for essentially the fan base. When you and I were talking a little bit earlier, you want to share that with the fan base?
Yeah, man, because I was thinking about that this weekend. I was driving out to Round Rock. My daughter had a volleyball tournament. I was driving just thinking about overall everything that had happened over the past week, the damn Chief game, the KC collapse, and I was thinking about it, and I thought to myself, this is the problem, and this is what Texans fans need to do, because I'm listening to phone calls, people calling in saying, we want Bill O'Brien out of here. We can't stand him. What is it going to take? We're going to get rid of our season tickets. We're going to protest. None of that stuff is going to make a difference or make a change. What you have to understand is this, as a fan of the Houston Texans, you have to recalibrate your timeline from when a decision like that is going to get made, because I feel like the McNairs have recalibrated their timeline. And what that means is this. Until Deshaun Watson gets paid the $140 or $150 million or whatever he's going to get, Bill O'Brien's not on the clock yet. He's not on the clock, because what happens is when you – invest that much money into Deshaun Watson and into Laremy Tunsil and all these type of guys. Now the owner's like, all right, I've invested. Now I need my return on investment. And so if you want to enjoy watching the Houston Texans play, you have to just take Bill O'Brien out of the equation, because he's so unlikable that everybody wants him out, but he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He is not going anywhere. When Chris Olsen gets fired, it further lets you know that Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere. That's not going to happen. So, all right, cool. Let me focus on the part that I can enjoy and get behind, and that's the players, and that's that side of it. It's not going to be – because if you do that, now you'll have peace of mind when you're watching the game. You'll have peace of mind when you're going through the offseason, figuring out who they're going to pick up in the draft, and you can focus in on the part of Bill O'Brien that you do like, is he brought in – X, Y, and Z player. He brought in Tunsil. He brought in Hyde. He brought in Duke Johnson. Because if you're going through your day, each and every day, think to yourself, how can we get Bill O'Brien out of here? You're going to have a miserable life, because he ain't going nowhere. He's got about two, three years before that even comes into play. And the clock doesn't start until Deshaun Watson gets paid.
Let's check these lines, Wade. We got Richard from Katy. Richard, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. It's going. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're
doing
good.
Good, man.
Man, I can't stand Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator. Bill O'Brien, the GM. I'm completely fine with, just like y'all talk about Tunzel and Duke. I love it. But we seriously need an offensive coordinator who's not, I don't know, wimpy when it comes to calling certain plays. But these out, I'm not going to get too much into it, but we need new offensive coordinator. He can stay the head coach and GM.
Hey, Richard, I can't agree with you more, my man. I can't agree with you more. We appreciate you calling in. What about Mike? Mike from Baytown, what's going on, baby?
Hey, what's up, Clint, man? Calling from the Dirty Bay. What's going on?
Hey, the same. Just hanging. That's it. With my man Wade, what you got going on?
Hey, just calling in, man. Bill O'Brien, man, he's a con artist. You know, you cannot be the GM. You cannot be the head coach and the offensive coordinator all at one time. I don't know what he's telling them people over there off of Kirby, but he has them fooled. And I would be saying this even if we were on the way to the Super Bowl right now. That's the way I feel about him. He needs to go, and I think we need to get Josh McDaniels from the Patriots.
Ooh, Josh McDaniels. I imagine he would be an odds-on favorite if the position came available, I would imagine. Go ahead, buddy.
I don't know. They keep telling us we need to stop getting people from the Patriots, man, but I think just Josh McDaniels would bring a lot of knowledge and a big, big thing to Houston.
You got it, Mike. Thanks for calling, brother. I appreciate it. I hope you hold things down over in the Dirty Bay until I get back. Look, our first caller alluded to it, man. I think the defensive coordinator position was I think we can probably see that coming down the pipeline. Anthony Weaver is now the Houston Texans defensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel is out as a defensive coordinator. Coming up next, I think the biggest move for this offseason that could impact this football team, we have not seen made yet. Wade and I will discuss the possibility of an offensive coordinator for the Texans in 2020. That's next on Sports Radio 610. Bill O'Brien is going to be the head coach and the GM of the Houston Texans, baby. So buckle up. Quit talking about the man not being here. It's going to happen at a time when a lot of the city's buzzing about, Bill O'Brien, we don't want Bill O'Brien as our head coach. I'm here to tell you, Bill O'Brien is going to be involved in this organization in 2020.
And listen, the reason why we're saying this way is because, and this is how I am, I'm a realist. Every time I hear people with phone calls and I can see and hear how upset they are talking about Bill O'Brien being the head coach and wanting him out of here, I'm like, listen, man, let's be for real. Like, I'm not going to be able to go outside and touch 12 feet right now. I can't jump like that. My knees messed up. My back hurt.
Right.
I ain't going to be able to do that. I'm a realist. So I'm not going to go out there like, damn it, I want to go jump, touch 12 feet. Bill O'Brien is going to be the head coach. So we're going to tell you why that's the case. And also we're going to discuss what can be done to help him be the best head coach he can be. Because there are things that he can improve. There's things that he needs to do to get better. He knows that. And we're gonna call him to task when it's necessary to, like, hey, this is things that we see, this is things that he can do to be better. But to think that Bill O'Brien is gonna get fired and really hope that and think that's gonna be the case, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, and it's tiresome for you and I to come in here and talk for 25%, 40% of our time about Bill O'Brien's job security. Bill O'Brien's going to be here. He's gaining power as we speak within the organization. Whether we like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. That appears to be what is happening. So buckle up, Houston. As Wade said, recalibrate your expectations. And here's the good, man. Anthony Weaver is a great replacement for Romeo Crennel, all things considered, okay? I mean, they're, you got to consider who's available. You got to consider what's their bloodlines, what coaching tree do they come from. And Anthony Weaver is a good replacement there.
And I don't want you to couch it either. I don't want you to say all things considered, because Anthony Weaver, if you don't make him a defensive coordinator, eventually
somebody
he's going to leave.
Yeah, somebody will. Right.
He's one of those guys.
Fair enough.
If you talk about Anthony Weaver in football circles, he's a guy that people say in 5 years he'll be a head coach.
Yeah.
He's one of those type of guys. So those type of guys, you try to keep him in house as long as possible.
Sure.
If people want to think about Anthony Weaver, think about how it worked with Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was a linebackers coach. They kept him as the defensive coordinator because he was going to leave to go somewhere else. It's the same thing with Anthony Weaver.
Yeah. And no, you're right. When I mentioned all things considered, I meant more along the lines of
the bloodlines, who he's coached under, who he played under, the fact that he knows the personnel here. Those are all huge things. Literally on the defensive side of the football, now you've got your scheme and your coach in place. It's about going and finding the players that you want, the complementary players that you want. Wait, I don't know, and I'm going a little bit off cuff here, but I don't know if you heard Richard Sherman talk yesterday in the post-game presser, particularly about the coaching staff and about how it wasn't always about going out and finding the most talented player and that you could afford. It was about finding the best fit for the scheme that you wanted to run, and that's how they made the jump from a 4-win football team to a what now is definitely a Super Bowl participant. That, you know, I don't know if they're going to win it all, but they're a Super Bowl participant. We'll get to that game later, but I just thought it was interesting. Now the Texans know who their D coordinator is. They know what their scheme is going to be. Hopefully that's changed a little bit with Anthony Weaver. I would fully expect some change, all things considered. And now they can go get the guys that fit that. So buckle up, Houston. Bill O'Brien's going to be in town. He's going to be the head coach. They're making moves. Here's what you can hope for, Wade. And I think this is real, man. I don't see how Bill O'Brien can look himself in the mirror and say, we don't need to hire a new offensive coordinator. I don't see how Cal McNair can look in the mirror and go, or meet with his panel and meet with the coaches and go, we need to do some things differently on the offensive side of the football. And I ain't even talking about the management stuff. I'm not talking about the clock management. I'm not talking about the decisions to go for it or not go for it.
Yeah, that's head coaching stuff. Yeah, he's just talking about specifically offense.
Specifically, the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans needs to change. That's got to be the next decision to be made. And the longer it draws out, the more concerned you become that they're going to run it back the way it was. I've got to believe that there is some serious conversations about the offensive coordinator position for the Houston Texans changing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so, and it definitely needs to be the case. But the way that Bill O'Brien has operated in the past, for me, the more likely scenario is that he just gives over the reins fully to Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
And that part doesn't excite me.
No. Now,
I've heard Cecil Shorts talk about that Tim Kelly, he's creative and he does this and that from what he saw. And so based off of that, I got a little bit of a little bit of hope to come out of Tim Kelly. Mm-hmm. But when I look at who is going to be the guy that carries this organization for the next 10 years, Deshaun Watson, Tim Kelly doesn't strike me as a guy that knows the right way to utilize him to the best of his ability. You have to go outside of the building to find that person. Do I think that's something that's realistically going to happen? I'd say no. Realistically, I feel like when you have coaches that are head coaches – that are offensive guys, they some way, shape, form, or another, they're going to have their fingerprint and their thumb over what's going to happen on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of times those coaches will bring in a defensive guy. Kubiak brought in Wade Phillips, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien brought in Romeo Crennel. When you're an offensive head coach, you're going to bring in a defensive guy that can do his own thing. You let him cook. So that part of Anthony Weaver bringing in, I like that. Offensively, you know, you don't bring in a guy that is completely opposite of what you've ever known and done, and then have him give him the keys to the kingdom as the offensive coordinator.
See, my only pushback on that, Wade, and I understand that the mindset behind it is quite frankly, because it just very rarely happens when the formula for the Houston Texans is Bill O'Brien calling the plays as the head coach, but it's got to, man. It has waited, and I know it doesn't happen very often. Hell, I can't tell you the last time it did happen, but it's got to happen, man. I mean, you talk about what this offense lacks. Go watch. Hell, either one of them games you saw yesterday.
It was beautiful.
The winners, the beautiful part about it is, Wade, is you've got a creative passing attack, and then on the flip side of it, in the night game, you had a very creative run game, and you saw what alignments and motions and committing to certain things throughout a game plan and throughout a season, you saw how powerful a dynamic play caller can be on both ends of the pass game and the run game, man. And I would not be even putting this out there, Wade, if I didn't feel – I feel more strongly about the fact that it's blatantly obvious that the change needs to be made than I do about – it's blatantly obvious that Bill O'Brien is hard-headed and going to do things his way.
Listen, a change does need to be made. The question is he actually going to do it? And so the realist in me is like, hell nah, he's not going to do it. But it needs to be done. Deshaun Watson has to be maximized as a quarterback. And if you put him in that scheme that is the Patriot way, you know, the Tom Brady offense, that type of deal, the game plan offense, it's not going – you're going to be good, but you're not going to win a championship. It's very difficult for me to see that happen. You're going to have a lot of things fall perfectly in place. Deshaun's going to have to continue to improve as a player in that scheme, but you're also going to be handcuffing him because you're not utilizing all of his talents to the best of his abilities, and then you're not making things easy for him. That's the biggest thing is for a coach, make things easy on your players.
Can we pinpoint anything that's more simple than what did early in the third quarter yesterday, San Francisco's up just dominating the game. I don't even know what the score was at the time, but they're dominating the game, and their quarterback had thrown the ball six times. You talk about making it easy for a guy. Now, if they needed to turn it up and he'd throw it 40 times, they'd do that too.
Yeah.
But the plan was effective, so it's, hey, man, let's just keep on keeping on and keep things rolling as efficiently as we possibly can. Wait, we talk about it all the time, and look, I understand it. We're beating a dead horse here when it comes to the creativity pre-snap and post-snap, the ease for the quarterback, doing things more Deshaun Watson-esque. I'm not saying don't drop him back in the pocket, you know, and allow him to process and drive the football down the field. But let's not do it 60% of the time that we're throwing the football. Let's find other creative ways. I can't watch an offense play and be more convinced that change needs to take place. I'm good, Wade, with Bill O'Brien, the head coach. I know the city out there is in an uproar about Bill O'Brien, again, gaining power at a time when you would think it would be shrinking. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the GM decisions. He hadn't done a bad job there. But, man, this OC thing's got to be worked out.
Listen, when you watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, they have an offensive line that's better than the Texans' offensive line, but they don't drop back their quarterback 50 times in the game. He's moving all over the place.
Right.
They're giving him opportunities to move the pocket, so it makes it difficult for the defensive line to get home. That's something that the Texans have to do going forward. They got to find somebody, and they have to implement the scheme to where they make that happen. Bill O'Brien has to evaluate himself and understand, if I don't do it myself, I'm not going to get the best out of my team. I'm not going to get the best out of Deshaun Watson. My offense is going to continue to just be pretty good at best. He's never had a damn good offense. There was at times that the offense was, at the beginning of this season, you're like, damn, they're playing pretty damn good. And then it fell off. They started getting conservative. They stopped being creative.
Sure.
And then it slowed down.
It was inconsistent.
You have to look at it and you have to think that people are reasonable individuals, right? I deal with reason and logic. If I go back and look at the season, I say the games that I was my most creative, we had the most success. Maybe I need to make that my staple. Every game, I need to be creative with what I do and just leave the conservative mentality at the door.
Yeah.
Having Anthony Weaver as a defensive coordinator, to me, says you're moving towards being more aggressive on defense. What you have to hope is that that's what's happening on offense, too. It doesn't matter the person that's in that role. It matters the philosophy of the person in that role. That's the thing that we need to focus on. If Bill O'Brien can change the philosophy and say, you know what, I'm going to be more aggressive, then the team will be fine. Same thing if Tim Kelly, if they give him the reins and say, you know what, you're going to be the one calling the plays now and he's more aggressive, then the Texans will be in better position. If they go get somebody off the street to do it, then they'll be in a better position. But if you see, and you'll be able to see it early on, if they're not being consistently aggressive, then you'll know it's more of the same. But until they do it, you don't know.
I'm going to have a hard time, Wade, buying in with the hiring from within Tim Kelly. I wish Tim Kelly the best, but he's been raised up in Bill O'Brien's way of thinking from the jump, right?
Yeah.
He was at Penn State with him.
Game plan offense.
Yeah, I've seen enough of the inconsistencies, whether that's insecurities in the newer aged offense or I don't care what the reason is. I've seen enough of the Bill O'Brien game plan offense, whatever. I've seen enough of that stuff to for me to be pretty confident in the fact that it's not going to change.
And I tell you what, it's 2020. It is the Super Bowl is going to be in less than 2 weeks. And once again, if you're not the Patriots, you're not in the Super Bowl and you're not winning it using a game plan offense. It does not work in this league to get to the highest level.
Yeah.
I have yet to see it happen. It hasn't happened. And once again, a team that has that game plan offense has not made it to the Super Bowl and won it, except for the New England Patriots. They're the only ones that have done it, and I think that will ever do it because it causes too much flux within what you do day in, day out as a player on the team to have so much going on each and every day. You got to figure out your identity, become that, and ride it. Think about the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers ran the ball like 40 times and threw 8 passes. Their identity this whole season has been, we're going to run the football.
Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs' identity all season has been, we're going to use all of our speed on offense to stretch you vertically, horizontally. We're going to throw the ball all over the place. We're going to constantly motion you, and we're just going to out-tempo you in everything we do.
Yes, speed.
That's their identity. Until the Texans get an identity, you're going to see inconsistent play. You're going to see highs and lows, and you're not going to be able to make it to a championship.
And I love your point, Wade. My cosign of it is you're 100% right, in my opinion. But to think that two different guys that essentially a quarterback that has a skill set of one identity and a coach that's been raised up and had a lot of success other places in another identity, it's hard to believe that those two guys will mesh. We watch what's going on in Kansas City with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, cut from the same cloth. West Coast and Air Raid, they're pretty damn close. You look at what Lamar Jackson, his skill set fits that run heavy, run first, and then throw as a counterpunch off of it, fits it perfectly. It's a different scenario in Houston with and look, whether some people go, like John McClain said the other day, said, well, at what point do the players take some responsibility? I don't give a damn who's to blame. You look at it, Deshaun Watson doesn't fit Bill O'Brien, or Bill O'Brien doesn't fit Deshaun Watson. I don't give a rip how you look at it. When it's all said and done, the Houston Texans are going to struggle offensively until they find a way for those two to mesh, or you bring a guy in that fits what Deshaun Watson does. We talk about it a lot of the time, Wade. I've got and don't get hung up on these names, bro, because I just did a quick Google search and found some guys that were out there, right? And my whole thought process is Eric Bieniemy. And I'm not getting into the conversation of Eric Bieniemy, whether he's a head coach or not. I don't care about all that, right? What I care about is Eric Bieniemy's background. Eric Bieniemy spent some time at UCLA, and he spent some time at Colorado, I believe.
Yep.
And in the meantime, both of those offenses are wide open, getting creative. What Colorado? You think Colorado is going to go win in their conference because they're bigger, faster, stronger than everybody? No, you got to get creative. You got to get creative. The pack out on the West Coast, it's all about offensive creativity and formations and motions and route concepts, right? So when you look at that, people go, oh, well, hell, who's available? Who's out there? I did a Google search, and I went through several different articles, and there's probably 10 guys out there. Check this out. And, again, don't get hung up on the name, just the thought of who this guy is. Mike Bobo, former quarterback at Georgia. He quarterbacked Aaron Murray. I mean, coached Aaron Murray, I believe, and coached Stafford at Georgia. Those guys are having some pretty good careers.
Yeah.
He went on to be the Colorado State head coach. Didn't win a lot of football games at Colorado. But what he did do was put a prolific offense on the field with – he did more with less.
Yeah.
Creativity and all the different things that you have to do when talent is not your advantage. He was able to do. Some people look at his head coach and go, man, he won 4 games last year as a head coach. I don't need to be a head coach.
I just need you to call plays. I need you to design plays and be creative.
I need you to relate to my quarterback. I need this is a perfect deal, Wade. I need a guy that's been a quarterback to coach Deshaun Watson that understands how difficult it is to play the position if everything's not tilted towards your skill set. That'd have been like me trying to run either a spread and throw it 80 times, or me trying to run an option offense. Like, that'd have been a monster. Give me a good run game. Give me some play action. Let me throw the quick game, and I can win.
You tell me you couldn't play quarterback at Navy?
No, hell no. No, sir. No, sir. Wait. But, like, there's something really powerful about the guy that's sitting in the room with the quarterback, having played quarterback before and having coached quarterbacks to a high level before and been – there's just so much advantage to a guy like that. How about Tony Elliott, from 2-time national champ at Clemson? You know, there's obviously some ties, had a lot of success in that kind of offense.
That's Deshaun's offense.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, straight up and down.
Right.
You remember we listened to the interview he did the other day. It was about a month or so ago. He was talking about he was watching Clemson play, and he was calling out all the plays. He's like, oh, yeah,
yes.
I remember we run this, that, and he sounded excited about
yes.
it.
Yes.
He sounded
yes.
excited about it.
Yes. Wait,
let's bring somebody
you.
In here that's going to have Deshaun excited about what he's going to do each and every day.
Wait, the biggest – you could put all the players in this league on a table
and say, Clint, you can pick one to make the Texans better, or you can give me, after all they do. And I don't know, Mike Bobo and Tony Elliott, again, don't get caught up on the name. There's a list of 10 of them. I don't care about all that. Those may be terrible candidates. I'm saying that's the idea. And you do your due diligence behind it, and you figure out which one of those guys is a fit here, and you put one of those really good coordinators over here that wants to coach Deshaun Watson, that wants to make that jump to the league, that's creative. You can have all them players. I'm taking that offensive coordinator, and the change you would see next year would be unbelievable. Not only would it win more, I think, in the long run for Deshaun Watson, but it would be one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL at a time when they're all changing, baby. Yeah. They're all going to this college offensive schemes are leaking into the NFL, man. Get ahead of that curve, or get in that curve, get in that momentum, and find a guy. That's all I'm saying, is one of those types of, an Eric Bieniemy type of guy that's coached in the league, played in the league, coached in college, is creative, boom, plug that sucker in, and the sky, I mean, look, they'd blow the top off NRG Stadium offensively.
No question about it. You got to bring somebody in the building that understands the new way of doing things in the NFL and can change with the times. It's a new wave of the way things are going on.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, but you got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to play defense.
Yep.
Those are the two things. You look at the teams that are in the Super Bowl right now. The 49ers, they play defense and they can run the football.
Ooh, really ever.
The Kansas City Chiefs, they run the football when they need to, but offensively, they are so aggressive, they're so fast, they utilize shifts in motion, they're so creative and dictate so well, which is a new way of doing things. That's why they're in the Super Bowl. The Texans have a lot of talent on this team. There's a lot of talent on this team. You have to utilize the talent to the best of their abilities, and right now that's not going on.
Bingo. Nail on the head, baby. Wait, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that San Francisco run game when we get to these championship games that took place yesterday. But we got some serious Texans news. We got some serious smoke over off Kirby that we got to address with these coaches moving, Chris Olsen in the front office moving. Man, we got a ton of things to get to. But right now, check this out, Wade. I'm a firm believer in this. Talked a little, this is a perfect fit for Martin Luther King Day. I didn't even think about this. The fastest way to get beyond adversity for an athlete or a team is to face the music, face the media, get all the questions behind you. And the Astros, they may have accomplished that this weekend, baby. We'll hear from a couple of the superstars over in Minute Maid next, right here on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.